Christopher Media. Eminem, question everything.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. That's my purse.
I don't know you.
You don't know. You're the first one that's ever got that. I say it all the time. Brianna's like, what?
King of the Hill references.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
You won't find those on any other podcast.
Eminem, question everything. On iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Hey, it is another episode of Unregimented. I am Chris.
I'm Jay.
I'm Aaron.
I'll give Kid Rock props, though, man. You know, he kind of created his genre-ish kind of a thing.
We've talked about this, I think, way back when I think Unregimented first started. He figured out how to make his job still be making music.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to go work at Dad's car dealership. How the fuck am I going to keep making music as my job?
And he fucking did a great job, man. Props to you, Kid Rock. Way to go, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he helped out Rob St. Mary, you know, with that Orbit book.
Oh, right on. Okay.
You know, it was he gave, Rob had the Kickstarter. No, I'm sorry, the wrong site. Yeah. My fault.
Yeah.
What the hell site was it? Patronicity.com.
Yeah, that's it.
And one of his rewards for donating to his book was if you donated $20,000, you got this original Niagara painting. And Kid Rock found it, wanted it for his new album, donated to the campaign.
No
so
shit.
Rob's getting his book made. Then ends up, I was talking with Rob, contacts Niagara further, buys the rights to the painting outright. Nice. So she makes him scratch, and it's the cover for his new album.
That's right awesome.
That's awesome.
But I think it wasn't that the painting attracted him, was it?
It was the paint.
Oh, I thought he knew about the book and wanted to help out on the Orbit book. And the painting was kind of an afterthought. Like, okay, yeah, great. I'll get this cool painting too.
I think it was maybe a combination of both.
Yeah.
I think who knows?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
No, that's awesome, dude.
Does it matter?
Awesome.
It happened.
No. Everything involved with it helps out somebody from here.
Right.
No, that's fucking amazing. That's great, man. No, you know, I met Kid Rock. I used to manage a record store in downtown Utica called Ultrasounds. You know?
Okay.
It was okay. You know, it was a classic rock used record store.
Yeah.
And it was like really the first one that I had gone to because, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, whatever, and it was... You know, I didn't know Car City. I didn't know Hot Hits then, because it was a drive. It was down Gratiot, you know, whatever. And so I used to ride my bike up to the store. And I ended up working there, and then I ended up managing the place. And Kid Rock, that was back when Kid Rock had all his shit on consignment.
Yeah.
He wasn't really signed. He had Top Dog Records going on. And,
I was working at a record store at the same time. You know, he was personally bringing in copies of Yoda in the Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Yeah, well, he sent one of his guys in to collect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know who you are. You know, just because you got Top Dog jacket on, you got a Top Dog freaking car, I'm not, like, you're not Bob, you know? Like, your name isn't on the consignment list for you to collect.
Uh-huh.
He got all pissed off, said some nasty fucking shit to me. And about 2 hours later, here comes Kid Rock walking in the door. And, you know, I was like, hey, what's up, dude? You know, I totally dig your fucking Yodel in the Valley, dude. That song's fucking the funniest shit, dude. You know? And he was so down to earth and really cool with me, you know. And he goes, hey, dude, you know, just so you know, that's one of my guys that works for a record label. I'm like, that's so fun. That's totally cool. You usually deal with, you know, the owner. I'm kind of a newer manager. Just put his name. Put his name and put whoever's name down on this consignment list right here. That's okay. He was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And then he like walked around the store and I think he spent like $100 in the store or whatever and just shot the shit. And, I played all kinds of shit on the, you know.
See, we used to do a lot of consignment with ICP before they got really big when they were still a regional act. Right. And
back when they were like headlining the Ritz.
Right. And totally different story. I mean, first of all, when they first came in, they would do so kind of like undercover.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'd be working the counter at the back of the record store and they'd like mosey around and then go, oh, what's up with that ICP? Is that stuff, people seem into that? I know who you are, motherfucker.
I ain't stupid, motherfucker. I gotta put your shit on the freaking rack all the time. I see your face.
Yeah.
makeup or none, I know who you are. No, that's when Hot Hits was around. They, you know, they come in there, and I happened to be in there one day when they came in. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but it was, I didn't even say hi or nothing. It was just they just came in, and I recognized them. Like, whatever. You know, good for them dudes for fucking Disney up the ass. That's fucking funny.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear about that? No, they when they signed on to Disney's record label, right?
Hollywood Records.
Hollywood Records.
Oh, okay.
They signed on to Hollywood Records.
I didn't know that was a Disney label.
Yeah, they wrote an album, and there was like one or two songs I think on there that they were like, Disney's like, no fucking way. Like, there's sure. no fucking way.
I'm surprised there was only two or two.
First of all, you had to know who you were signing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Disney was like, no, there's no way, you know. And ICP was like, no, in the contract it says right here we have total creative rights. And then Disney's like, well, here's your money. And like, dude, that's when they blew up. Like, they fucking blew up.
Is that
up.
How it went
yeah.
down?
That's the story I got. Yeah. But, yeah. If I'm wrong, everybody listening, whatever. Go
well, I
yourself.
Mean, they
it's my
they did start, they started building pretty hardcore following locally yeah. before that, because we would do, I remember doing an in-store
dude,
and
masters.
Having like 150 kids show up. I'm like, yeah. what the fuck is no, going on?
They were really masters of local marketing. Yeah. Like, they used their marketing dollars. They did what they should do, man. They got stickers on the back of fucking a bunch of people's yeah. fucking cars all over Roseville and East Point, you know?
We had all these kids waiting. I got on the PA and told them that we were just waiting for the clown copter to land on the roof.
Nice. Nice.
Like half of them were like, no way!
Yeah, no way. Really, no way.
And by clown copter, we mean their mom's minivan.
local acts. That's awesome.
Working in a rec.
Take that, motherfucker. I don't want you to talk to me.
Oh, there we go. I like that anyway. I miss working at a record store. So.
I do too, man.
Good times.
It was real good times, man. You ever do the thing like where you got like somebody milling around and like, you know, you could totally tell somebody's music taste just by looking at them pretty much. You're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what they hate. You can figure out what they right. fucking hate. And you put it on.
Yeah, you just know, like, yeah, if I play this guy's going to freak out right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, walk out the store. Yeah, like, walk out the store. Or my other one was like, I want to sell some cake, you know, or speedball. Like, yeah. you know, like speedball. I was really good at selling speedball. I was really good at it, man. Because, like, I'd see the dude come in, you know, like, you get to know your customer. And it's, like, really small record store, really small.
Yeah.
And it was always just, like, me working it. And so I'd like, see people, and I'm like, all right, I put some freaking speedball on, man. And no shit, I'd sell one or two copies of that. It was my favorite game, nice. Was to, like, sell somebody, you know.
It's like, what you're talking about?
I will now sell three yeah. copies of the, or to yeah. five, I think it was five, I don't know, I'll sell five copies of the Beta Band 3 EPs.
Yep, yep. And that was before High Fidelity came out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Our favorite game to play at the record store was trying to get people to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, either on the phone or they come in and they're looking for a song and they're describing the hell out of it. And you know,
I don't get just
you can just
it.
Reach behind hum you and grab
bar.
The Alanis Morissette, yeah, but right. you're like,
hum a bar.
Does that? How does it go?
Yeah.
Well, she says this. Yeah, that sounds familiar. But if I know the melody,
yeah, right. I did that too. That was awesome. That was awesome game.
And then, but when you had them on the phone though, it was
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they start singing, you put them on speaker real quick.
I should have done that. I never did that. Well, that was a small store, so that's great. Now I want to go work at a record store again, just so I can pull their shit yeah. on people. Psychology 101. And how to fuck your customers in the head.
but High Fidelity pretty much nailed it for me. Yeah. What it was like working at a record store.
Pretty much.
I mean, you got that way. You got it snobby. Like, oh, you don't even know.
Yeah, right. What do you? No, your kid doesn't.
Why
want
are you
that.
Getting that?
Your kid doesn't want that. No, he wants this. Listen yeah. to this. This is the wrong. You're going in the wrong order of things.
I mean, right.
Yeah. No. Oh, that was.
And I did really also enjoy, kind of. Introducing people to stuff that they were not aware of.
Yeah.
You know, somebody walks up with, like, you know, a Verve pipe record. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool, but have you checked these guys out? You
right.
know? And they're
yeah.
like, oh, no, what's this? And then they come back the next week like, oh, what else you got? What else you
yeah,
got?
Yeah, right. That's I had a bunch of death metal kids come in, right?
Yeah.
And there was a zine. God, what the hell was the name of that zine? It was a death metal zine. And the dude used to get all kinds of, before podcasting was big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, damn, that's going to drive me nuts now. He got all kinds of demo CDs. And he brought them in, like, put them on consignment. But
the sound that death metal kids come in?
Yeah.
What was that, Eric Clapton?
No, it was actually Michael Bolton.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for stopping it quicker. Good for you for not knowing. Yeah. So,
bring it back.
You know, these death metal kids come in, man, and they're like, man, you got... And I had this whole box of death metal in the back. Mm-hmm. The owner just wasn't putting it out. He just wouldn't put it out. I didn't understand it. It just sat back there. And they come in and like, man, you guys ain't got any death metal or nothing. I'm like, I got something for you. So I pulled this big box of freaking CDs out of the back, man. And they spent like between five of them, like $250.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, nah, I got. And they kept coming back. You got anything in that box? Let me see that box. Let me see that. And the owner was like, man, you're selling the shit out of them CDs. They're not even out. I'm like, yeah, I got my, you know. I got my clientele.
For the last time, I don't want your giant box of pornography.
40-year-old version. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. But no, that was I did really enjoy that, man. And that was when you know, video games were like, you know, Sega Genesis and shit like that. You know, Nintendo, and it was kind of, you know, where you're selling used shit.
Yeah, I do selling used shit.
Yeah,
like at the time we were still buying cassettes.
Yeah, we were too.
And I remember there was this one guy who, I don't know, he thought he was quite the gangster. Who knows? But, you know, he had a tattoo on his face, so he had that much, I guess. But I remember him coming in. He was a regular, you know. He would come in all the time. And one day, he usually dealt with my friend. I dealt with him one day when he brought in a shit ton of cassettes. And these things are just like, they've been played so many times. Yeah, they're all, no J card. You can hardly read the writing on the cassette itself. And I'm like, I got to pass on this shit.
Yeah, bro.
Boy, he got mad.
Yeah, I bet.
He was like, what the fuck are you? You're not going to buy this shit. What the fuck do you mean? You better. I remember him like literally threatening me. He's like, I'm going to fucking jump over this counter and strangle you right now. I'm like, all right. I just tagged out for that one. I'm like, I'm going in the back. Somebody else help this guy out over here.
No, I ain't buying your shit. No, that's like I remember before the owner actually developed a way to basically burnish out scratches on CDs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was before the machines. Like,
really?
He had a buffer in the back, and he fucking had all this, like, compound and shit that he bought special.
You can get, like, plexiglass cleaner and stuff that will, like, do that.
This was actually, like, a block, like a brick of freaking compound that you had to, like, put onto one of the buffing wheels. There was, like, the buffing wheel on the right was for the compound. The buffing wheel on the left was to clean it off.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the disc master or whatever that was. And, I remember before that, man, we would not buy a scratch CD. And people used to get fucking irate. What do you mean you don't buy a scratch CD? Every fucking CD is scratched. I'm like, no, dude.
Not in my collection.
Right. Like, no. And I tell them, like, so you're okay if you come in here and you buy a CD and it's got a big fucking scratch on it. You'd be okay with that? The guy's like, no. I mean, that would suck. He's like, but don't you guys have a way to clean that? I'm like, dude, I can clean it. But, I mean, goddamn, you used it, fucking flipped it across the parking lot, you know? And it had top scratches. It was screwed. Like, there's just... whatever, scratch through, dude. There's
you know another thing that bugged me about working in a music store or any retail store in general?
Oh, we can get into that list.
There's no magical back room.
No.
Do you have anything? Do we have in the back? No, we don't have in the back. There is no back. Everything we have is out, motherfucker.
Actually, man, no, we had a basement at the record store, and that's where, like, the real vinyl collectors were allowed to come down. Like, we had specific customers because we actually sold a Beatles Butchered album. Just the cover. There was no vinyl in it.
Okay.
But it was just the cover.
Still worth some money.
$2,500, man.
Yeah.
But we had, like, real, like, holy shit. You would flip through those records down there and be like, holy shit. They were not allowed out in general public. You know, like, you didn't want people flipping through it generally.
Right.
You know, that store was really good for really hard to find shit. And rare stuff.
Yeah.
Back then. Now eBay killed it.
Passport!
Listen.
Although vinyl's back.
Get downstairs.
What?
Vinyl's coming back,
oh,
man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Big way.
You know, Dave Taylor, he owns Weirdsville Records there in Mount Clemens. And it's a cool store.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a really cool little store, man. But it's expensive, man. It's like $25 to $30 for just a regular freaking record.
Right.
Just a, like, brand new pressing. I'm like... are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Because it's probably hard to get the machines now to make it, or to maintain the equipment.
No, not really. Like, it's all new.
Although, there does seem to be... they're definitely good quality vinyls for the most part.
Yeah, they are.
Like, you're getting 180 gram pressings. Yeah. None of this flimsy shit with, like, the weird lip on the end of it.
Right.
That just, like, you could practically see through it now, if you hold it up to the light.
What was it? He was playing me the newest Jack White album. And it actually has a hologram.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's reverse play. It's so you set it at the end and it plays...
Right.
Yes. Where Jack White sucked his own cock so hard he disappeared up his own asshole.
It's pretty cool, though.
He jumped up his own ass and created a singularity.
Well, whatever. However you feel about Jack White, it's still a cool concept.
No, we were just talking about the record. You know, it's the hologram that only four record players on the entire planet can play, but isn't this cool?
I do like most of Jack White's music, and I've met him, but not like, you know, talked to him about anything really, but he seems like a reasonably nice guy. I have nothing against him, but that record is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a little ridiculous.
Well, because there's like, I guess there's different songs on the vinyl too. Not different songs, but different takes of the same song on the vinyl versus buying the CD. The loop locks are cool. I've always dug that.
Yeah.
But I've got a bunch of records that have that channel. But that, usually you find that more in like techno stuff.
Right, right. Dude, I got this big box of freaking like $10 record box in my shed that I still haven't opened. I bought it.
Yeah.
It's all hip-hop. It's like $10 hip-hop box from Record Time, and I still haven't opened it.
Oh, yeah, when Record Time used to do the grab bag box. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. I'd like to see what's in it. It just says hip-hop, $10, and it's just this box.
I can't believe you haven't opened it.
Well, you know
what? What if it's all, like, Kangaroo records?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I have all my records. Everything I bought on vinyl is all collected. You know, it's like all, like, first pressing this or that.
Okay.
You know, like, Pink Floyd Obscured by Clouds, first pressing.
I got a huge collection over there of just garbage.
No, I've got probably maybe 150-ish records. And every single one of them, there's a reason I own it on vinyl, and it's for my collection.
Right.
Rarely played stuff, you know. Like, everything Misfits except for Walk Among Us, first pressing. You know, because I was everything Danzig first pressing, and I even have one that's signed. Whatever.
I was thinking the first opening scene from The Wedding Singer.
Right on.
Somebody put some pants on that kid.
I should sing this shit karaoke, man. This is fun as hell.
Well, now I've talked about it.
Yeah, y'all got to go karaoke. Do a live cast from karaoke.
But yeah, Record Time was a great store.
It was a great store.
For everything. I mean, I used to go there and spend an hour in the techno room and drop easily $50-$60.
Yeah.
Take home five or six records.
Right. Yeah, right.
With like one song on each side.
Yeah, right. You know? That's techno, man.
Right. And then go out and, you know, pick up the latest Bell and Sebastian or something in the other room, and then spend another hour just going through all the used CDs and pick a few out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of my money.
Yeah.
And they still closed.
Well,
I did stop going there.
you went to stop going there too. I actually installed a point of use hot water heater. Or a water heater in their bathroom. They didn't have hot water for like two fucking years.
You don't have to be a one-upper.
No. I wasn't like that.
You worked there? Yeah, I installed the plumbing.
No, I didn't work there. Jerry was the manager there, and I was friends with him, and blah, blah, blah. And, I did it. Put this water heater in for $200 credit in the store.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Slayer box set just came out. Ah, there goes $100, you know. Like, holy shit, you know. I mean, that's my kind of music, so whatever, you know.
Still talking about records.
Yeah, buddy. No, so, I mean, I couldn't tell you everything else I bought, but it was all, you know, for that $200, dude, I got my dime's worth out of it.
Oh, I bet.
Were you married when you made this trade, by the way?
Yeah, I was, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Does she know about this?
Yeah, she knows about it. Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, the Slayer box set sat above on my cabinets for like 5 years, like, because all my record, like, all my, I had a bunch of collectible shit on top of my cabinets in my kitchen for, like, 5 years. And I reached up there.
You took this box set instead of money? We're keeping that thing in mint condition?
Yeah, no, it was, well, yeah, I used to have, before my kids, I had the back bedroom of my house was actually, the walls were my vinyl. Like, I covered the walls in my vinyl. Like, they were all in sleeves and tacked to the wall, like, hanging from the sleeves, because I felt that that was a better way to store them than in a box. And yeah, that was, and, you know, she'd come in there. My wife used to collect McFarlane toys, so
nice.
She has a decent Spawn collection, which is pretty awesome for a chick to have a Spawn collection. That's pretty hot.
It is.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook, following us on Twitter at UnregimentedPod. You can subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users can find Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. You can now listen to a new episode of Christopher Media Show every day of the week. Sunday, M&M Question Everything. Monday and Thursdays, we have Unregimented. Tuesday, you get the Weedsman Podcast Nugget. You also get the Toddzilla X-Pod whenever he gets around to it, and you'll like it. That's how it goes. Wednesday, we have the Projection Booth. We also have the Oddcast with Jenna and John. Fridays, you get the full episode of the Weedsman Podcast. Saturday, we have the Captain's Table. If you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports leagues, no season-long commitments. Yes, even while the NFL playoffs are happening, you can still do fantasy football at DraftKings.com. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you will get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
The Spawn figures were always amazing, too.
Yeah.
The action figures are actually always better than the comic books.
Not always, though. No, they weren't always, man. If you look at their first series of McFarlane toys, they were just okay. G.I. Joe style.
Oh, all right.
Because, like, I bought her a I don't know how much you know about Spawn. You know who Angela is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I bought my wife. It was a K&B toy store release only Angela, and it was, like, actually a misprint. Because they didn't put underwear on her, so it was just the color of the fucking legs. But there was no underwear. Like, the rest of them, they put underwear on, because right. It was K&B Toys. Right. But yeah, I got that for her off eBay.
Nice.
Yeah, and then her cousin gave her an original Spawn, and he's, like, freaking green, like, opaque green. It was, like...
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, really weird. And then all the rest of them are, like, crazy, and she's got all the... she got the Beatles, McFarlane. So we were actually part of the McFarlane fan club, where you get an action figure every month.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, and she, you know, she's got, I don't know, dude, she got all that shit.
Yeah, it was the actual McFarlane line of toys. Those were
amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, they were
amazingly
amazing.
Detailed.
Very awesome. Yeah, we have I got her Ash from from Army of Darkness,
right.
Or whatever you want to call it, you know, Evil Dead.
They have a chainsaw.
You could remove his hand and put the chainsaw on his hand. Yeah, nice. And it came with the Book of the Dead and the boomstick with the sheath in the back. You know, like it's a pretty cool toy. Matter of fact, that one's out of its box and in my kids' play thing, because there is still one in the box, and then there's the one out of the box.
Okay.
Because I had, you know, it came with, like, the backdrop of Army, like, actually had a bone thing that said Army of Darkness on the back,
mm-hmm.
And, like, Ash would stand in the standee. And, yeah, that was out of the box.
Not that McFarlane.
Yeah. Todd, goddammit. No, but that dude...
Todd.
That dude did some amazing shit. Like, even the Rob Zombie stuff that he did was really good.
I didn't see any
of that. Yeah, he actually did a Rob Zombie McFarlane action figure. And yeah, it was pretty cool. And Wanda, you know, he did a Wanda in Cyan. That's the... what's his name? Spawn's wife and daughter.
All right.
That was kind of gay. But that's what you got. That's what you got when you joined the fan club. Was Wanda and Cyan?
Okay.
And it was kind of. I'm like, yeah. Who fucking cares? You know? You look at it. If you don't know anything about Spawn, it's like, there's an African-American girl, baby, and an African-American lady. Why is it still in the package? You know, like, what are you signifying here? Exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, if you don't know and you're looking at it, it's like, why the fuck do you have a G.I. Joe size African-American woman and her daughter?
There's no joke I can make that won't sound classist or racist.
I know. It's great.
If I say, poor, the action figures.
Well, no, but the thing is, though, is, I mean, you know, they're middle class, so it's not...
Working class. Next one's like
she was middle class because he was...
Guy holding a lunchbox.
He was a cop or a military? Military, right?
I don't remember.
Shirt with his name on it.
Yeah, Special Forces or whatever. So, no, it was pretty cool, but...
The most I remember about Spawn is that horrible movie.
I miss my rock room. Yeah, the movie fucking sucked.
Horrible soundtrack.
John Leguizamo, man.
I love John Leguizamo, too.
I do, too, but not in that movie.
No.
It's like, dude, shut the fuck up for 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear this fucking clown talk for 5 fucking seconds. Just shut up. I mean, there were some cool, like, effects that happened.
Was that the period in his career where that may have been coke money?
Totally. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I'm sure he was all coke.
Daddy's got a coke habit. Yeah, Spawn, great.
But I think last year I caught some of it, and they showed the scene where he goes into hell. I'm just like watching it. Like, really?
Yeah, like
that doesn't
what?
Even look like fire.
Come on. Oh, it's so CGI. Yeah. I mean, like, all the hell spawns that are. I mean, it's like he was, you know, like other hell spawns that were. It's like, huh?
Yeah, it's impossible to make a movie in the 90s and have it stand up now when a lot of it relies on special effects. It just falls apart. But besides that, it wasn't the special effects that killed it.
No.
It was the total cheesy lack of a script and bad acting.
It was the comic book, dude. Come on. It looked pretty kind of at the time, and that was it. You know, there's really cool graphics, you know?
Yeah.
But it did have this song on the soundtrack. The only good song on the soundtrack.
But that when Todd McFarlane did Spider-Man, which is what really put him on the scene.
Yeah.
And he did, what was it, like Web of Spider-Man, I think it was called, that he did. They gave him his own Spider-Man suit. That's when I started getting into Spider-Man, actually. And I just loved his style. But that's another thing that really doesn't hold up all that well. If you go back to those issues... I mean, I don't know. He's really into Venom, and I just, like, Venom is, like, not even really a...
It's not... He's not that strong of a character.
No. Like, really. There's nothing to him, really.
No. Okay. What pissed me off about the Spider-Man movies is when they put Venom and fucking Sandman in the same movie. It's like, why would you do that? Why do you... Are you just doing it to cram, like... Just cram it in there.
And Sam Raimi, I heard rumors about what went down at the time, but earlier this year he talked about how horrible that movie turned out.
Yeah.
And he blames the studio for it because they were kind of forcing. He wanted to do Vulture.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. He was like, you know, we're going through the original day one with Spider-Man, so the Vulture's got to come in here early.
Right.
And they're like, well, yeah, but who? How are we going to sell a action figure of a bald old man?
They sold fucking Wanda and Cyan.
Right. Well, he showed them.
I mean, how do you sell an action figure of Doc Ock, actually, you know? It's cool. He's got 8 arms, but...
I don't know. The Spider-Man 2 is still one of the best comic book movies out there. The second one is just... It looks and feels like a good comic book.
I did like the first one. I did like it.
I did,
but
too.
But, you know, guys like you and me, we don't need character structure. We are...
Right.
I know who fucking Peter Parker is.
That's,
you know,
the frustration with up until recently, you just... All these superhero movies were like a one-off that would pop up every now and again, and they'd have to spend more than half the movie just building up who this character is.
Yeah.
And you're just like, can we just get to some action, please?
Yeah, I think they should just release 1 and 2 right a fucking way. And it's like, okay, you know, like you got your, like, nobody knows who the fuck it is, so you watch 1.
Yeah.
If you know who the fuck it is, you watch two. You know, if you want to watch one, it's cool, but it's just character development. You know,
yeah.
Watch two. It's where the real meat's at. You know, like you already fucking know who Spider-Man is. You already know, you know, Mary Jane and him are like, you know, got their sexual tensions and shit.
Mm-hmm. And then when they did the whole reboot, they started all over it. Here's a new Spider-Man, and here's how he got his powers and all that. And I'm like, can't you
what
just
the fuck is with
doesn't
that?
Everybody know who the fuck this guy is already? Well, can't yeah, we well, just go right into?
I don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't fucking understand that, you know. And Kristen Dunst's Mary Jane, go fuck yourself. You know, like, really. Not a fan of Kristen Dunst.
No. I like her.
She's not hot enough for Mary Jane.
Au contraire.
She got that dumb look on her face.
Yeah. I think that's what turns me on.
I like redheads, so I'm in.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, shit. Love them redheads.
Like, whatever I see, I'm a stone with blonde hair. No. Get this out of here.
Yeah. I'm kind of, I lean that way, too. We got to stick together. It takes a soulless to deal with a soulless.
So. Oh, and another beef about the reboot. You're going to put Gwen Stacy in there, but she's not going to die.
Yeah, like, come
that
on.
That was a big part of Spider-Man. I mean,
yeah.
Outside of his uncle, feeling responsible for his uncle's death, Gwen Stacy dying and not coming back. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. She came back this year. I don't know if you follow this at all, I don't even really either. Spider-Man is totally all about the writer for me these days.
Okay.
If somebody is writing it really well and doing something interesting with them, I will read it. Otherwise, it just doesn't register. But they did this whole like Spider-Man multiverse thing where like all these alternate versions of Spider-Man were popping up. And
was it good?
No. And
I think we talked about that in another podcast. One of them. Like, I'm so fucking pissed with the multiverse shit. Fucking bullshit.
Oh, it's out of hand. That's a whole nother rant. But, I forgot what I was saying. What?
Gwen.
Oh, Spider-Man multiverse.
It's Spider-Gwen.
What? Spider fucking Gwen. Wow, way to reach. Way to fucking reach.
Actually,
have you seen that? What the? Oh.
No, what the fuck's going on?
What the fuck? Pay your bill.
God damn it.
I got to stand up. Freaking drove to and from Jackson today. That kind of busted my old ass up.
My Spider-Man songs. This one's even a reach.
How? What is this? Let's do it, man.
See if you guys can pick up on it.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
There you go.
All right.
Song's written by Peter Parker. It's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As long as we're talking about comic books.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, right.
I picked that up today. Star Wars number one. This is Marvel having control of the Star Wars universe again. And I wasn't buying it at first. I'm like, I'll go to the store and check it out. And I flipped through it, and the art was enough to get me on that.
I like the art.
John Cassidy is the artist. He's hit or miss for me. When he's on, he's amazing. He did an excellent job in there of actually portraying these characters, which is tough. I mean, the people who are buying this, they've probably watched all these movies multiple times.
Yes. Sorry, had to get out of the way. All right.
This is kind of new because everything that's come out over the last like 20 years through Dark Horse and other publishers was taking the Star Wars universe and expanding it, introducing new characters, going off into the future.
In Disney's quest to monopolize all of our fun.
Yeah. This actually takes place in between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. I haven't actually read it yet. I just picked it up today, but we'll see. We'll see if it stands up. If the writing's as good as the art.
Let me fold
it. Is Mala in there? Is Mala in there?
Is what? Who?
Is Itchy or Lumpy in there?
No. No. Only one Wookiee in this so far.
Oh, by the way, a fan of Well, she started with the Weedsman podcast. Now she's a fan of the shows in general.
Who's that?
At Inger Arts on Twitter.
Just not our show.
No, she likes our show. She, we were going back and forth on Twitter the other day, and she signed off one of her messages with Wookie Pussy. So that means she does listen to all the show.
Well, Wookie Pussy to you, too.
Yeah. And a fine Wookie Pussy to you, sir.
Smack that Wookie Pussy.
I cannot take credit for that term. I merely parroted it.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, but you know what? You got the microphone, and they don't.
Wookie Pussy.
I didn't invent it. I merely popularized it.
There you go. You're a trendsetter, a tastemaker. See, I'm a trendsetter. I sent you guys a message the other day.
Yeah.
Pornhub released their statistics for 2014,
mm-hmm.
and this was the year they saw the shift in their traffic go from desktop to mobile.
Oh,
in 2013, majority of their traffic was desktop. Now it's 2014, it shifted to mobile. Same. I'm ahead of the curve, guys.
Dude, Pornhub, man, they're getting big, man. They actually, they,
yeah, because their videos are getting more mainstream.
But
sucks.
They hosted, was it the a very large video game tournament?
Really,
like one of the largest? Yeah, well, I think there was even a $20 million overall purse. Like not like you know not one person takes that, but like
yeah,
you know,
that's overall. Yeah.
It's like $20
real
million.
Money.
Yeah, it's real money. Video games are getting
tournaments
are getting crazy. But the funny thing is the top players. And I can't believe I know this. The top players are like a lot of the top players are being busted for cheating and shit like in the tournaments. Yeah.
How?
They hack and shit. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like they hack or whatever. They know they like drop a thumb drive in or something. You know?
Huh.
Yeah. It's actually got
Pornhub sponsored a video game.
Yeah. You should
talk about knowing your audience, though.
Look that up. So like you know I'll look it up because I got my phone. I hate.
Was it co-sponsored by Jerking Off?
No. You know what? There was a big. There's a big controversy about it.
You're right. It had to be Doritos, Taco Bell, or Mountain Dew. Possibly all three. The new Taco Bell flavored Mountain Dew. The Taco Bell Dorito flavored Mountain Dew. There you go.
Oh, my God.
An advertising executive somewhere just came.
You got to get Pornhub in there, too. It's like...
Oh, it's U-Porn sponsors pussy. Professional video game team. Sorry.
What's that?
Doritos, tacos, U-Porn. Flavored
pussy.
U-Porn sponsors a professional video game team.
All right, we gave credit to the wrong pioneers.
Well, no, because basically, Pornhub, I think...
They're all
owned by the same...
Yeah.
The heroes at U-Porn?
Pornhub creates gaming team. Yeah, right there on Tumblr, creates gaming team. Most popular U-Porn sponsor is a professional video game featuring David So. David So is a badass fucking gamer. I can't believe I know that, too. That's pretty sad. Damn Facebook and me following all that shit. I don't follow David so it's all right.
Pardon me.
Glad my wife doesn't listen to this show.
It's going to be like the first ever episode she listens to, Mama.
Yeah, I know. Like, what the fuck? Not the one where I like totally give her props. It was my fucking anniversary, but this one. Like, what the hell? You know way too much about video games and porno. Like, well, I'm a 40-year-old man. What the hell is there to know about?
This isn't what I had hoped it would be.
I don't know. New video games, not something I've kept up with. I'm all into puzzle games now.
Yeah.
And shit, like...
Because you're a mobile gamer.
Yeah. Well, even when I play... PlayStation. I go for the Bust a Move or Katamari.
I'm at the point where I have like a really badass, well, mediocrely badass gaming machine at home. You know, it's a pretty decent machine. You know, I'm not getting into. I don't have multiple video cards anymore. I used to, but
yeah.
But yeah, I'm like looking at some of the specs of some of the new games. And I'm like, I'm getting kind of fucking close here. Like, I don't want to upgrade.
Yeah.
I got like $3,500 into my machine. I don't want to have to upgrade it quite yet.
I have friends who have went out and bought new machines or upgraded their current hardware so they can play a game that's coming out.
Oh, totally.
I've done it.
So it turns into, yeah, instead of buying the new game, it's now this hundreds of dollars investment.
No, I had dual video cards, and Battlefield 4 wasn't running the way I liked it to, so I went and I bought like the recommended freaking video card, which there goes. I hope to God she doesn't listen to this show. There went $400, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, but then it was like, well, I bought this new video card, but my monitor can't handle the resolutions that it's pushing or the frame rates that it's pushing. I need to buy a new monitor, too. There goes another $350. And it was like, pow! Well, it was like last year tax time. Like, hey, you know, can I have some money, like, you know, for my machine? She's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know, it's out of the taxes. I'm like, okay. And she's like, did you take $1,000? I'm like, hey.
What? Define take.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Like, look at pretty shiny thing.
It was to buy you diamonds.
Yeah. So, well,
and then you have to buy diamonds.
Yeah, I haven't owned the last game system that I bought. I didn't actually buy it. It was a gift. Was a PlayStation 2. So I'm way behind. And then I like all these cool Batman games started coming out. And I'm like, yeah, I got to check this out. So I got one for the PC, figuring, you know, I've got this nice computer that I set up for, you know, doing audio stuff.
Did you get Arkham Knights?
It should be able to handle it. It was the second one that I got. It couldn't, like, Batman's walking into the prison. It's like,
No, dude. You know what kind of video card you need for that freaking game, man?
Yeah. When I found out, I was like, fuck no, I could buy a whole new audio card for that money.
Yeah, no.
I ain't doing that.
No, it's... I don't have... Like, my audio card, my computer's, like, on board.
It's sick.
It's sick where, you know, like, your video card was probably on board. My video card's like this.
I had a video card because I wanted two monitors.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it wasn't, you know, anything high. It's $70.
Right.
That ain't, you're going to play anything with that. Not these days. You're going to play Tetris. That's about it.
My wife's computer has a $200 video card in it. she's like, one day it was like, I come home, she's like, hey, I was watching recorded TV and the thing just went blue screen. I'm like, and she didn't want me to build her a computer.
Yeah.
All my other computers before that were all like Frankenstein machines, is what she called them, because it was all, I traded parts and this and that. I'd buy a $100 video card here and there. So I bought her an XPS, a Dell XPS.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's a pretty, back in the day, it was before Dell owned Alienware.
Okay.
And it was, you know, so I ordered, everything they ordered on it was like top that I could get, but the video card, because I knew, you know, I'll end up upgrading the video card. And I also didn't get all the RAM that I could get, because I am, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. And so I come home, she's like, oh yeah, the computer's blue screening, you know. And I'm like, oh, let me take a look. I made some settings and changes and shit. And she's like, well, come home like the next day, and she's like, hey, it's not blue screening anymore, but like the image freezes and does that digital thing, you know, artifacting. And,
yep.
And I'm like, all right, I need to go buy a video card. And I was playing games on this machine at the time too, but I wasn't playing anything like super crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm gonna go buy a video card. She's like, well, how much is that? I'm like, squirrel. Yeah, this is, I think it was like just pre-kid. So I went out and bought her $200 video card and put it in there. And she still uses that computer to this day. So, I mean, the investment is worth it. Even though, you know, I had to resolder all the capacitors on the motherboard because they all popped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty sick, actually, that I did that. It was,
like, yeah.
I told her, like, you know, the machine...
That's definitely a level up for me when it comes to computer building.
Well, the machine...
I never got out of a soldering gun for it.
The machine, like, really, it was, like, locking up, right? And I'm like, fuck. So I took it apart. I was thinking it was overheating or something. Maybe a fan was going. Maybe the power supply is going. Like, whatever. I opened it up, and, like, all the the main power caps around the processor were, like, popped.
I'm
like,
really?
Yeah, and I told her, I'm like, hey, yeah, this is like, I can either try to fix it, which I'm going to give you like a 50% chance that it's going to work, or we can go buy a new machine. She's like, well, try to fix it. So I threw $35 or so in capacitors into the thing, and it works. And she, I was like, it's still working to this day. I was like, yeah.
Nice.
And then it started fucking up again, and I opened it up, and there was another cap that popped that wasn't one that I replaced. And I can really get nerdy when it comes to capacitors because mm-hmm. I know why those capacitors popped.
Okay.
Yeah, it was corporate espionage. So
what?
Yeah, seriously, like these capacitors that were like put out in like 90 or from 99 to 2001.
Uh-huh.
They either have a KJJ or a KGJ listing on the capacitor.
Okay.
And they're 80 Celsius capacitor. Okay. And the thing is somebody stole the capacitance formula or the gel formula
okay.
from another company and put it into their capacitors and like mass sold them out to everybody. I mean, like LG and Samsung and freaking Dell. Uh-huh. And so they're all in motherboards and TVs and shit like that. Well, their 80 Celsius rating is actually only like a 50 Celsius rating.
Oh.
So, but they stole this formula. The formula wasn't complete. So like, dude, I have two TVs in my house that had blown capacitors. Same damn thing. Computer.
Really?
Computer. Blown capacitors. Replaced all the capacitors on the TVs and that. I got like 2 32-inch flat screen LGs and I got 2 32-inch flat screen TVs and I paid a total of $25 for the two of them because they were given to me. They're like just the companies that they were like, nope, we just want new TVs, you know.
Yeah,
it's $400 to do a repair on a power supply.
Yeah,
they're like, we'll just buy new 32-inch TVs, like whatever. I mean, they're commercial grade, so they're a little more expensive, you know.
Okay.
I think they were $1,000 TV at the time, but
great Scott.
Yeah. But it's just, and the fact that I know this is pretty sick, that I know there's corporate espionage on capacitors.
Yeah.
But no, you know, $25 into two 32-inch TVs and shabam. And then also, you know, I threw another $35 into my computer and it's running Vista. But it does what she wants it to do.
Oh, man. Speaking of Windows, why do I ever try and do it? A Windows diagnostic. Every time
know.
It tells me there's a problem, I'm like, we can try and fix it for you. I'm
no.
like, eh, sure, go ahead.
No, it doesn't
like,
do anything.
Wi-Fi is off for some reason, and I can't get it to turn back on. So I do the...
just reboot your computer.
Do the diagnostic. I already did that. Yeah. I did the diagnostic, and it's like, problems found. Wireless capability is turned off.
And no shit.
And it says not fixed. And it does not give me any option
no,
on
no.
here to turn it on.
All right.
It's like, you better go find it.
You got a switch or something on there, or function, no. or F... function something.
Thank you. I did do that when I was trying to mute my volume earlier. I turned the Wi-Fi off.
You're
with
welcome.
The function button.
You're welcome.
You're a genius.
Not really. Just been there and done that a couple of times. Was it function F9
right.
or something?
Yeah, and there's one for turning the trackpad off too. That drove me nuts for about an hour one day.
God damn it. No, so that was a really nerdy, boring story right there.
Oh, no, I loved it.
Fucking capacitors.
This sucker's electrical, but so. I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.2.
What did I just say?
I'll just keep saying capacitor.
Capacitor. Capacitor.
That's all I think
capacitor.
Of.
Yeah, flux. I know everybody's like, oh, flux capacitor. Yeah.
So hey, not- speaking of which, oh,
yes.
topical and transitional.
Okay.
All right.
This week, I don't have it in front of me. But Nike announced they're coming out with the self-lacing shoes from Back to the Future 2.
Nice. Well, the hoverboard.
They will be out this year.
Yeah, the hoverboard's supposed to be out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Hawk wiped his ass out on a couple times riding.
Well, let's get on Mr. Fusion, all right? Let's power cars by garbage.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Let's go.
What about the self-driving cars that are going to be out?
All for it. All for
I am too, dude. No more drunk driving.
Well, say, I bet you law enforcement
fucking drunk driving.
Is scrambling for ways to raise funds now.
Well, no,
they'll just come up with another way to raise funds.
You know what it'll be? Is like you need to be like in case the vehicle malfunctions and you have to take over.
Yeah.
Like that's what it'll be. They'll get you on impairment.
Absolutely.
Or drunk in public. You know, or public endangerment.
Speaking of cops, driving home on the freeway yesterday, and I noticed. Okay, so you look on the overpass.
The
right?
dream of driving and masturbating. It's getting
Amen.
Close.
Dude, it's so difficult. I mean, oh, yeah, I can't wait. Well, have you seen that invention that they have? It's like actually like a hand,
oh,
like
God.
You can shove in your sleeve and put on your steering wheel so you can be on your... Yeah, Kickstarter, baby.
I love it. That sounds like something Homer Simpson would invent.
Why does coming advanced technology further than so...
Oh. No, but it does. Pornography is...
there are people who haven't eaten in like a week.
Well, they got the fucking auto blower, dude. You just set that thing on your junk. And
but we've invented that.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, yeah, right. Well, with the new Oculus... With that Oculus Rift that's coming out, that's like virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Virtual sex is going to be the big moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
And that's... they already have suits that...
But there's people who haven't eaten for a week. I know. You see how I see what we're channeling our energies in the wrong directions here?
Right. And the other thing that was announced at CES, if you want to get mad about that, is like they have a projector that does 3D holographic images of any fucking video game you're playing.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like small, like handheld kind of thing, you just set on the table.
You know, it's Adam Carolla's bit, but file all that under why the terrorists hate us. The last 5 minutes of conversation, why the terrorists hate us.
Why? Because they're
we don't have running water, but we have something where it's a fake hand, so I can masturbate while I drive.
Tell you what, dude, you want to know something? No, like stop buying fucking AK-47s and start fucking coming up with ways to fucking capture water out of the air because it's doable.
I mean, it's a good argument. But I just
get a moisture farm already.
Right? You know what I mean? You gotta fuck, dude. You could fucking sell solar fucking power. You can sell batteries, charge the fuckers off of solar. You don't have to do nothing. Just there you go. Sell them Tesla. Good to go. You
know, man, we're just solving all the world's problems here in the last couple weeks. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for clicking. Thanks for liking. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for subscribing for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for telling a friend. I probably already said that, but that's how important it is because that's how podcasts work. We drop every Monday and Thursday. Check out all of the other shows on ChristopherMedia.net. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.